Please open your Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 19. This is page 377 in your Scofield Bible. 377. We'll be reading verses 15 through 18. The text verse is the 18th verse. How you're finding that, this announcement, please. Will the parents of Joshua Dudley please come to the Dead Babies Nursery? Okay, reading responsibly, verses 15 through 18 of 2 Samuel, chapter 19. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. So the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul. And his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him, and they went over Jordan before the king. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for every opportunity that we have to please thee. And we believe that we could not please thee more just now than to be where we are and to listen as we should. Now, Father, we believe conversely that you would be disappointed in us if we were to be here and yet not listen. Help our hearts to be tender, our minds to be alert. Give us openness to that which is preached, and help it to be a help to us individually, collectively. Thank you for our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me share with you the background of my text tonight. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the other shore. The other shore. I prepared this message some time ago, and I was looking at it this afternoon, and I almost had a spell of joy and excitement because of the great story I'm going to share with you tonight. Let me give you the background. David was the king of Israel. He had a son whose name was Absalom. Absalom became desirous to sit on David's throne, wear his crown, and wear his royal robe and wield his scepter. He decided that he was going to hide behind behind love for his father, and he decided to gather a group of followers of himself. And he said something like this: you know, Dad's getting old, and the load is getting pretty heavy for Dad. It's time, I think, that someone took his load, and he decided that he wanted to become the king. There was a war between his forces and David's forces, but David would not fight against his own son. He could have, but as he would not. By the way, his own son had been anointed king in David's absence, and David would not lift up his hand against God's anointed, even as he refused to do so in the case of King Saul, when Saul was trying to kill him. The war, David left the city of Jerusalem, stepped down from his throne, took off his robe, laid down his scepter, took off his crown, and went out to a place on the other side of the Jordan River called Mahanaim. And there in Mahanaim, he could see the dust of battle, realizing that his own son was fighting against his own forces in a civil war, a war of insurrection, if you please. Soon he saw the dust of the war subsiding and realized the war was over. There came out a man to tell him that he was the victor. And David asked the question, is the young man Absalom saved? That was his son. And the first messenger could not tell him. He simply said to David that you won the war, the throne is yours again, you can go back. There came the second but slower messenger. He came and David said, is the young man saved? And he relayed the news to David that his own son had been killed in warfare against his father's forces. David, however, is now the king. In fact, somebody asked the question, why say you not a word of bringing back the king? So David is now the king. He's going to return to the city of Jerusalem. And all of the story that I'm going to talk about tonight is built around what I just said. Now, Father, bless me as I speak and our people as they listen. And I pray tonight that we shall revel in the wonderful position we have in Christ and the goodness of the gospel. Bless our service to thy glory and praise. Amen. Please follow me carefully as I lay the foundation. The king and his entourage are returning to Jerusalem. His son has been killed. David is going to assume the throne once again. The king and his entourage are going back to Jerusalem. At least 1,037 people come to meet him. However, between him and the beloved city is the unruly, rowdy Jordan River. How shall he cross this angry enemy? He's got to cross this Jordan River in order to get back to Jerusalem. And how shall he cross this angry enemy? Ah, I see a ferry boat coming from the west. Now, you'll bear in mind that David is coming from the east. He's coming back to Jerusalem. But between him and Jerusalem is the Jordan River. And here stands David with his entourage and some of his family members, no doubt, at the banks of the Jordan with no way to get to Jerusalem because of this very aggravating, rough river, Jordan. Not a big river, just sort of a big creek, but a very, very turbulent river. So here comes from the other side, get this now, here comes from the other side a ferry boat. And so that ferry boat transports David and his entourage across the Jordan River where they once again can go to Jerusalem, and it takes them to the other shore. What a meeting and what a reunion they had. On this side was David and his entourage. And on that side were at least 1,037 people, most of whom were there to welcome King David back to Jerusalem and, of course, back to the throne. Hundreds greet them, no doubt, with crescendos and shouts. Don't leave me now. Hundreds greet them with crescendos and shouts. Loved ones and friends are reunited as the Jordan River swells with pride and with witnesses. As I jealously view this cavalcade, I see a similar future scene when the king transports us across the river to the heavenly Jerusalem. So I see several similarities. Number one, hear me carefully, the boat must come from the other side. The boat must come from the other side. Here's King David. He's coming to Jordan. He has no way to cross the river. But on the other side, somebody has built a boat, a ferry. And that ferry comes and transports them across. I say the boat must come from the other side. If you ever get to heaven, you'll get there on the ship of Zion built on the other side. You won't get something built in Rome. You won't ride to heaven on something built in the denominational headquarters. You won't ride to heaven on some boat that was built in the confessional booth. You'll get to heaven because it was built on the other side. Salvation is of the Lord. All over America tonight, false teachers are building impotent ships and leaky rafts that will capsize in the Jordan River. You say, preacher, when I come to the Jordan and want to go to the heavenly Jerusalem, what will get me across? Only the boat that was built on the other side. The baptism of regeneration entering his sinking vessel is on the wrong side and will never cross the Jordan and get to the New Jerusalem. The deceived Roman climbing the sacred stairs in Rome, confessing his sin upon every step of the stair, is building his boat on the wrong side. He'll never get to the New Jerusalem. You listen tonight, there's nothing you can do on this side to get you to heaven. It's all been planned on the other side, and all you do is just get on the old ship of Zion. The commandment keeper, the salvation by good works adherent, will sink in the Jordan because his ship is built on the wrong side. The Mohammedan, bowing toward Mecca tonight, will die in the Jordan and never get to New Jerusalem and die and go to hell. Why? Because he's building his ship on the wrong side. Let me tell you something. The ship on which David crossed the Jordan was not built on the eastern side. It was built on the western side. And bless God, the salvation I have tonight was not made in some church altar, some church baptistry, some church sacrament, some pope's altar in Rome, some confessional booth, but it was made in heaven, and salvation is of the Lord. The seventh day zealot, working his way across the Jordan, will sink in the Jordan, and his man-made ship will capsize because it was made on the wrong side. The penitent at confessional booth will capsize and sink in the Jordan River because his boat was made on the wrong side. The transcendental meditationist trying to get his call through is in a sinking boat that will not make it over Jordan because it was built on the wrong side. There are two religions tonight in this world. That religion, one is we build our boat on this side. The other is he built the boat over here on this side. Those who trust anything built over here will die and split hell wide open one day and burn the fires of eternal hell. But bless God, those of us who get on the ship that was built on this side shall live forever and ever and ever in the city with streets of gold. The surfboard of Holy Communion is built on the wrong side. The paddle boat of confirmation is built on the wrong side. The rowboat of good works is built on the wrong side. The canoe of baby baptizing is built on the wrong side. The sailboat of the sacraments is built on the wrong side. The raft of church membership is built on the wrong side. The water skis of legalism are built on the wrong side. The motorboat of denominational salvation is built on the wrong side. The tender of reformation is built on the wrong side, and hear me carefully, they all will sink in the Jordan River. You'll never walk the streets of gold. You'll never know what it is to go through the gates of pearl. You'll never fellowship with the saints of God on the other side. You'll never place your eyes upon our wonderful Savior and place your hands in the scars or wounds in his precious hands and feet. You'll never do that if you quit trusting anybody on this side and trust the one on the other side. If we can all learn this, everything about the gospel comes from the other side. Salvation comes from the other side. Forgiveness does not come in a confessional booth on this side. It comes from the Savior on the other side. Grace comes from the other side. Mercy comes from the other side. Pardon comes from the other side. Joy comes from the other side. Peace comes from the other side. Contentment comes from the other side. The boat was built on the other side. The old ship of Zion was built on the other side. Get out of the stupid boat building business and get on the boat that God has built for you. I call your attention tonight. Number two. One is, the boat was built on the other side. Number two. Oh, I love this. And in my office study today, I got up and ran around and clapped my hands and danced a jig and had a conniption fit backwards when I stopped to realize, here's the king. The king is coming back to Jerusalem, and there are hundreds of people, no doubt, a great entourage with him, and they bring the ferry boat. They bring the ferry boat to get the king. But did you know that everybody wanted to come back and come back with the king? And did you know everybody on that boat was just as safe as the king was? Let me tell you something tonight. I'm as saved as Jesus is. I'm as sure for heaven as Jesus is. You know why? I'm on the same boat. And if there's some little boy about 10 years old that got on that boat, he could say, I'll get across Jordan just like the king because I'm on the same boat with the king. Somebody said, I'm afraid I can't make it. Well, if the king does, I will. On the same boat. Wake that fellow up right there. We're having preaching. Wake him up. Sit up there. We're having church. Good night. Another slumber party. Somebody said, I hope I don't drown. You're safe as the king is. But I don't feel safe. Doesn't matter how safe you feel, bless God. If the king is safe, you're safe. If the king gets to the other side, you get to the other side. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And I'm as saved as he is. I'm as much a child of God as he is. He's the son of God. I'm a son of God. His name is written in heaven. My name is written in heaven. His record is clean. And listen to me over here. Hey, listen. I'm preaching to young ladies. Hey, listen to me. Hey, listen to me. I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to you. I'm saying, bless God. Quit talking and shout. The king has a perfect record. I have a perfect record. The king is going to spend eternity in heaven, and I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. I said the ship was built on the other side. I said, number two, I am the king who is no more secure than his family. Hot dog. Wow. Whoopee. Hey, hey. Thank God. A good gravy or something. But thank God I'm as safe as the king is. That means tonight, if you trusted Christ, not your own boat, but his boat. Not the works that you did on that side, but the works he did on this side. If you're trusting what he's done, not what you've done, then you quit your worrying. You say, I don't deserve to go to heaven. I know you don't. I don't either. Bless God. All the deserving people are not going to go there. The trusting people are going to go there. Number three. Here's the one I really got happy on. Not only was the boat built on the other side, and the king was no more secure than the family, but it's just a short trip. Just a short trip. They didn't ride that boat for 3 days. It wasn't 10 miles across the Jordan. It was 30 yards. 30 yards across the Jordan River. Did you know they could see both sides at the same time? Oh, this is what's great. I sat beside my little mother in 1984 at the hospital out there, and you've heard me say it. You'll hear me say it again and again and again. And my mother was right in the middle of the Jordan River, and she could see on both sides. She had talked to me a while. She had talked to her little daughter, Lorene, for a while. She had talked to me a while. She had talked to her daughter, Hazel, for a while. She had talked to me a while. She had talked to Uncle Harvey for a while. She had talked to me a while. She had talked to Aunt Jimmy for a while. She had talked to me a while. She had talked to Uncle Roy for a while, because it's just a little short journey across the Jordan River. With one ear, you can hear earthly's goodbye. And with the other ear, heaven's welcome. The branches of the tree of life and those on earth's cedar, of earth's cedar trees, nearly meet across the river. I wrote this poem. We really are not far away from heaven's bright eternal day. It's just a few miles down the road, but God will lift my heavy load. This place is not so far from here, and I can sometimes seem to hear the shouts of joy and song and praise that we shall know for endless days. I studied some, the guidebook of the Father's house he's built above, and found that since my mansion's near, he sent some things ahead down here. Perhaps he wants to give a taste to make us come to him in haste, lest days and years are spent in waste in things unholy and unchaste. Today, I'm in the best of you. Tomorrow, in the house, I'll rule. There's so much here that talks to me of things I'll know eternally. Yes, even now, I often dine on heaven's bread and heaven's wine. And though I look through glasses dim, I often get a glimpse of him. Though I'm not on heaven's goal, methinks, here I oft behold some heavenly things that have their birth right here upon this present earth. I now enjoy the morning fare of an endless day that I'll know there. Today, the choice hors d'oeuvres I eat of a full course meal at Jesus' feet. Now heaven slumbers in my breast as the oak within the acorn rests. No better robe is offered there than the spotless one that I wear here. but soon shall Jesus take away from out its closet made with clay. Down here I smell a sweet perfume of a bud that there shall be in bloom. In heaven the streets all have their birth in little paths right here on earth. The Christian life I now caress is just the same that I'll possess. And though I now in Katy stay, I eat of Eskel's grapes today. Sometimes I cannot tell of it if I'm in the flesh or out of it. Bless God, the life that I now own is just the same that's at His throne. Up there, they eat the Savior's feed as He supplies their every need. And yet my Savior feeds me too, supplies my needs my whole life through. They serve Him there and do it right, and yet I serve too by day and night. They walk with God, yet so do I. He wipes their tears, yet dries my eyes. He cares for them, yet watches me. They praise Him there, yet so do we. For we like they know His rebirth. Heaven must begin right here on earth. Though I've not spanned the sea before, I now can bathe near heaven's shore. Thank God tonight it's just a short trip to the other side. I said, number one, the boat was built on the other side. I said, number two, it's just a short trip. Let me stop and say this. Death is highly overrated. And it's highly dreaded. I've seen people die. As I said a while ago, I saw my mama die. And I saw my mama say, "Can you see him?" I said, "I saw her die. I saw her on her deathbed." I heard her say, "Can you see him, son?" And I said, "No, mama." Then my mother said, "Can you see your sister? There's Lorene, your little sister who never walked or talked. Can you see her, son?" And then my mother had a spell on her deathbed, and she said, she's walking, she's running. She never walked the 7 years she lived here. But son, she's walking and she's running. There is a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Then my mother said, "Hazel, my 7-year-old daughter that died also at 7, as did Lorene. There she is, son." And my mother, with one foot on one bank and one foot on the other, she said, "Son, can't you see Lorene and Hazel?" And I said, "No, mother, I can't, but I believe you can." My mother said, "Hazel, you never have met your brother Jack, have you?" I don't know what she said. If I found out, if I heard what she said, I wouldn't have been in that room very long, for sure, I'll tell you. She said, "Hazel, I want you to meet Jack. Jack, I want you to meet Hazel." My brother was looking to the shore over here, and the shore was just 30 yards apart. And then she said, "Lorene, you've never met your brother Jack. Jack, you never met Lorene. She went to heaven before you were born. Jack, meet Lorene. Lorene, meet Jack and Hazel. And Hazel, you meet Jack." I didn't know what to do. I'll tell you what I did know. I knew my mama saw me. I knew my mama saw them. You know why? Because the journey between this side of the river and that side is just a brief journey. Number three. Oh, my soul, my soul. I've been worried about this one, but I won't get through it. They were met at the landing. There they were. I hear bands playing. I hear banners waving. I hear friends shouting. I hear loved ones praising. I see warm embraces as the king and his entourage goes back to the holy city of Jerusalem. And those who prayed he would come back are embracing him. And those who prayed for others that with him to come back embracing them. And there's shouts and hugs and rejoicing and praises and banners waving and bands playing. Likewise, we will be met. But Charlie, we're not young anymore. 74. I want to praise God there's a heaven tonight. Mama's going to meet me. I'll get to see my sister Lorene and my sister Hazel. I'll see Mrs. House's mom and dad. Her dad, whom I won to Christ on his 70th birthday and baptized him that same night. I'll get to see Uncle Harvey, the man probably who had more influence on my personality than any man in the whole world. I'll see my mama and Mrs. House's mother, and her brother, whom I won to Christ many years ago in Garland, Texas. Likewise, my future friends. I was in my study a while ago thinking, I'll be glad to see Dr. John again, Dr. Rice. We shared platforms in Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Fresno, Stockton, Los Angeles, Claremont, San Diego, Phoenix, Albuquerque, Salt Lake City, Omaha, Boise, Billings, Montana, Minneapolis, St. Louis, Des Moines, Sioux City, Iowa, Rapid City, Iowa. We shared platforms together in Oklahoma City, in Tulsa. We shared platforms together in El Paso, as I said, Albuquerque, San Antonio, Dallas, Fort Worth, Abilene, Longview, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Little Rock, Fort Smith, Hot Springs, Joplin, Missouri, Springfield, Missouri, Chicago, Gary, Indiana. We shared platforms together here in Hammond. We shared platforms together in Memphis and Nashville and Birmingham and Mobile. We shared platforms together in Miami, in Tampa, Orlando, Jacksonville, Savannah, Atlanta, Georgia. We shared platforms together in Augusta. We shared platforms together in Virginia, Lynchburg, Virginia, and Roanoke, Virginia. We shared platforms together in New York State and all over New England. And one of these days, before many years, I'll see old Dr. John again. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to die because I don't like the way to get there. I want Jesus to come. I heard Spurgeon preach a sermon not long ago. Somebody gave me a tape of Spurgeon, and he said he wanted to die. He didn't want Jesus to come in his lifetime because Jesus died and he wanted to suffer like Jesus did. But listen, Charles, you have your choice. I'll have my choice. I don't want to die. I don't want somebody dressing me. I don't want somebody deciding what I wear, coming by looking at me and say, "He looks so natural." Shut the stupid box and keep on going, brother. I'll be playing tag with the angels anyway. My friends, Dr. R.G. Lee, the last words you spoke to me were right outside that door. Dr. Vic, I preached his last sermon. He preached with me in Rochester Hills, Michigan. Dr. Bill Rice, David Roloff, Dallas Dobson, Ford Porter, Bob Jones Sr. called for me on his deathbed. My daughter Becky and I went down and spent some time with him as he was on his deathbed. Bob Keys, Bill Harvey, Ray Hart. That isn't all. Those people that used to sit in these pews with us. It's not long till we'll have a reunion in the glory world. It's just what we've been met. Brother, it was Henry Morrison was coming back from a mission trip overseas, the old sort of a Pentecostal preacher. Coming back from a mission trip overseas, he got to the shores of America, and he saw a great crowd of people who were cheering, "Welcome home!" Signs of welcome. "Welcome home!" And Henry Morrison said, "I didn't think they would do that. I didn't think they would think to come and welcome me home from my foreign mission trip." And somebody said, "That's not for you. Theodore Roosevelt is on this ship, the president. He's been on a hunting trip. and they're welcoming him back home from a hunting trip. And H.C. Morrison got a little bit bitter, and he said, "That doesn't seem right to me. Doesn't seem fair. I've been giving my life on the foreign field, and now I come home, and they welcome the man home who's been on a hunting expedition. He closed his eyes and saw another land, another shore, another boat. He saw Jesus and the saints of God welcoming him. And what difference does it make? Bless God, the boat was built over there. You quit trying to build your way to heaven and work your way to heaven. Get on the boat. Bless God, it's just a little short journey, and bless God, we shall be met there by those who've gone before." So do you want to go to heaven? Salvation comes from the other side. You want joy? Joy comes from the other side. You want peace? Peace comes from the other side. You want real success? Real success comes from the other side. They don't come from this side. You listen to me carefully. Young people, sit up straight and hear what I've got to say. You are on a boat that's going to capsize. That boat of pleasure. That boat of rock music. That boat of you guys wearing your stupid earrings. And your bracelets and your necklaces. That boat of your gals running around here in your shorts and your bikinis and your pants. I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, the boat's going to capsize because any boat built on this side of the Jordan will not make it across Jordan. The rock music crowd is on this side of Jordan and will sink in the river. The pop culture is on this side of Jordan and will sink in the river. The Hollywood lifestyle crowd is on this side of the Jordan and will sink in the river. The new Bibles that are printed on this side of the Jordan. And bless God, that one came from that side of the Jordan. The New Age movement was conceived on this side of the Jordan. The mixed bathing suits, short wearing, bikini clad, men's earring wearing, liberal, anti-gun, or baby-killing crowd, woman's pants crowd, bless God, the queer crowd, that's on this side. Now, young people, nobody's trying to hurt you. We're trying to give you a joy that's on that side, and that joy cannot be extinguished. It cannot be stopped. I have a joy, 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 joy down in my heart to stay. But the worldly crowd, and the pleasure crowd, and the Hollywood crowd, and the Playboy crowd, and the crowd of you young rebels that think you know more than God does, that's on this side. It'll capsize one day in the Jordan River. Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye. Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. I'm bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, won't you come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. Everybody here wants to go to heaven, but everybody here doesn't want to get on God's boat. Made on that side. Prepared totally. All you can do is just get on board the old ship of Zion. Ship ahoy. Ship ahoy. And now I can say, ship ahoy. I can see a little gathering now. David is coming back. The fairy comes over from the other side to get him. And David and his entourage get on that ferry and cross over on that ferry built on the other side. And there's that happy reunion. I was thinking today of Harley Dunsworth, a deacon when I came. I promise you, he's a horseshoe pitching champion of heaven. I one time years ago won the horseshoe pitching champion in Dallas, Texas championship. Of course, down there we don't take the shoes off the horses, we throw them. Harley Dunsworth was a horseshoe pitching champion up here. He said one day at a little church picnic, "Pitch a game with me, preacher." I said, "Harley, I don't want to. You never have been, they say you've never been beaten." He said, "I never have, so play a game." I said, "Harley, I'll beat you. I don't want to ruin your record." He's an older man, probably 74, should have been in a rest home. And He said, "You're a coward. Don't ever tell me I'm a coward." So I pitched one game with him and beat him. For all the years before he died, he begged me to pitch another. I wouldn't do it. I said, "I am retiring as undefeated champion." I think about Mr. Tudor. His name is right here, in memory of Leonard Tudor, one of our good deacons. In St. Margaret's Hospital, they called me in the middle of the night and said, "Mr. Tudor is dying." The nurse had come to him and said, "Mr. Tudor, you're not going to make the night. Shall I call your priest?" And this good deacon said, "Ma'am, I am a priest." She said, "Oh, I didn't know you were a holy father." "I'm not a holy father. I'm a priest of God, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. If you want my preacher to come and join with me while I go to heaven and rejoice with me, call him if you want to." I went down and sat by his bed. He looked at Mrs. Tudor and said, "I want you to know, sweetie, I'll be looking at you from heaven. If you as much as look at another man, I'll call the tornado to come down and wipe you out." I'm thinking of others that sat in these pews. So many others. I think of, and I've forgotten her name, the little lady that cackled when she laughed. What? Mrs. Fredley, yeah. She was dying over here at the hospital. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. Let me stop and say this. I've said this before. 2 o'clock in the morning, no time to die. Think about the poor preachers that have to get up and go to the hospital 2 o'clock in the morning. Die at noontime, you hear me? Mrs. Fredley always cackled. Everybody else say amen. She'd go, like that. They called me the little hospital over here near Gary, 2 o'clock in the morning. So inconsiderate she was. I got beside her bed. I said, "Mrs. Fredley, this is Brother Hiles." And she smiled and said a word to me. All of a sudden she coughed. She coughed up, I promise you, a cup of blood. And I said, "Mrs. Fredley, is that blood you coughed up?" She said, "Don't look like tobacco juice to me." And went to heaven. Our folks have more fun dying than most folks do at church. There is a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. I don't want to go unselfishly. I don't want to go. I want to stay here and help you rear your children together a lot longer. I want to marry you young a lot longer, preach to you a lot longer, and try to help you learn the Bible a lot longer. But I'm no dummy. I'm 74 years old. I want to stay, but I'll have you know one thing. If you walk by and look in that casket and see old Hiles there, Southern Baptists will be having a party. A rejoicing. American Baptists will have a year of jubilee. But you mark it down. Old Hiles is having the time of his life. You know why? Because I got on the boat that was built over there on that side. And it's just a little ways over. And there's a crowd waiting for me. As there's a crowd waiting for you. So come and join this holy band. And on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land where joys immortal flow. Would you bow your heads, please? And so, our Father, I've tried to be faithful tonight as best I could. I love this little story. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I can see the king coming back. And all the people on that boat were as safe as he was. Because they trusted the king.